It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Gene Purcell, filling in today for Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later in the program, we'll take a look at some of the big court cases of the last year here in Wisconsin.
First, there is plenty of debate in the education world over the merits of lecturing. Critics say it's an outdated method of teaching, but supporters say it works.
But our next guest says the debate over lecturing is missing the main point. Rather than dismissing or embracing any teaching method, educators should focus on the best way to teach a particular skill, whether that's lecturing or something else.
We're joined now by Paul Cargan. He is an assistant professor of English at Southeastern University, and he blogs at Teaching and Learning in Higher Ed. Paul, welcome to Central Time.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you bet. It's an interesting topic. I was reminded back when I was in college that some of the lectures I heard were the best professors I ever had, and some of the lectures I heard were from the worst professors I ever had. So it was a real mix there. And in your piece, the piece I read, I didn't know, I have to say, that there was this big internal debate going on in the education world about the merits of lecturing. For those of us who are not involved in education on a day-to-day basis, could you kind of outline the two sides for us?
Yeah, I sure can. And I'll say the debate happens in a perhaps an unusual way. We don't stand in the university hallways shouting at one another. Instead, we write about it online, and then we kind of have our opinions, and then we'll discuss it at times. Academic debates often happen more civilly than political debates, but there are a lot of strong feelings about it. So the lecturing is, of course, the traditional method in which college classes are taught. You see it in films quite a bit. Students come in, they sit down, and the professor stands up at the front of the room, and talks. And as you said, based on your experience, a lot of people have similar experience. Sometimes that is engaging and interesting. Sometimes you learn quite a bit, and sometimes you don't. And there are other ways to teach as well. And so some of those who have discovered or returned to some of these other methods, whether discussion or the Socratic method or project-based learning, lots of different approaches, say we ought to get rid of lecturing. There's no place for it. And others feel no way. We've been doing this for a long time. We like it. Some of the students like it. We think it works. So we're going to keep going at it. So those are the sides of the debate that happen. And you'll see from time to time articles online or in professional journals kind of staking out a side.
So are these being presented as sort of an either-or, either you lecture or you don't argument?
Well, I think that is often what happens, and that's not helpful, is my argument. And it's not just my argument. A lot of folks feel similarly.
So you've written that supporters of lecturing rarely advocate only lecturing. In other words, it's just sort of one tool in the toolbox. And meanwhile, supporters of alternative ways of teaching rarely advocate never lecturing. So lecturing has a place in there, and it sounds like you're trying to argue that it's trying to find out exactly what your purpose is, what your class is like, what your subject is. Like there's more to this debate than just whether lecturing is good or bad.
Yeah, exactly. So, like a lot of debates, the version of it that happens in public is very different from the version of it that happens kind of behind the scenes or with professionals. We see this, of course, in science debates quite a bit. The public is arguing over something that's very different than what scientists are arguing over. And so with lecturing, you'll see a lot of people say, well, I had the best professor in college, and she lectured, and these lectures inspired me, and I learned a lot. And then you'll have someone else say, I had all my professors lecture, and I learned nothing. It was horrible. I had to learn everything myself that I wanted to. And so this happens in public, on radio shows or on the internet, blogs, and articles. But the debate that's going on, or the discussion that's going on in professional journals, looks very different. And we're not gonna ask kind of what method should be used outright. Is there one method that's gonna help everyone learn everything? Instead, we're going to take a step back. We're going to ask, what is it we want our students to learn? And that's perhaps one of the most powerful questions in teaching, is to really step back and ask about your purpose. I think teaching often happens by default. You get put in the classroom, you're given a subject, you're an expert in that subject, and you kind of do what you experienced in class. Often professors are experts in math or history or archaeology or literature, but don't necessarily take much training, study in teaching itself. And so they just kind of teach by default. And so I think one of the most powerful questions is to step back and say, what is it I want to accomplish? And lecturing has been studied quite a bit, and it's been found to be more useful for some purposes than other purposes. For example, if you wanted to teach a student to think critically about some subject, intuitively we might say, we'll give a lecture on it and we'll demonstrate some critical thinking, and that'll rub off on them. And that has not really shown to be the case. Often what lecturing will do is it'll give students information about the topic. But if our goals, our purpose in teaching is deeper than just giving information, then we want to find kind of methods that are better suited to that. And, of course, it's not an either-or. Sometimes we'll want to give them information. Other times we'll want to deepen their appreciation for a subject. Other times we'll want them to learn to think about it. Other times we'll want them to learn to think about it or to communicate about it. And so, well, the more complex we can think about the purpose, what are we trying to accomplish, better we can kind of sort through all the available methods for teaching them.
Is there a perception, and that might be feeding into some of this, that lecturing is just old-fashioned and it's maybe outlived its usefulness?
Well, certainly. A lot of people feel that way about it. And then a lot of people feel, well, it's not old-fashioned, it's traditional. And I like to point out that it's not the oldest teaching method. Certainly when people had to learn to hunt and gather, they weren't taught by a lecture. They were taught more hands-on ways. And then, of course, the famous Socratic method, this give-and-take of discussion and questioning, came before the lecture as we know it, which developed in the medieval universities. So there's a sense that it's traditional or that it's old-fashioned, depending on the perspective. But to me, its age is not really the question. It's what will it do to help us do what we want to do? It's a tool in the toolbox. That phrase that you used, I think, is nice. I imagine someone asking a carpenter, well, what tool is better, a hammer or a screwdriver? And of course, it's a silly question. Because if you need to hammer something, a hammer works a lot better. And if you need to tighten a screw, a screwdriver works a lot better. And so it's the same thing in teaching. You really want to have a range of methods to be able to pick the most appropriate one on any given occasion.
All right. And in the last minute or so that we have remaining, what's your takeaway on, or what do you hope educators that might be listening to this conversation take away from it?
Oh, that's a good question. Thanks. Really, I'm all in for thinking more deeply about teaching. So there's lecture-based teaching and there's discussion-based teaching, and I'm really not a proponent or opponent of either one. But what I'm against, I'd say, is default-based teaching, teaching without putting a lot of reflection or thought into it. And I think this happens not because teachers don't care. All of the teachers, virtually all of the teachers I know, care very much about teaching and very much about their students, but not all of them have put in kind of the depth of reflection that they could benefit from. And so that's I'm always encouraging just more thoughtfulness, more reflection on teaching.
All right. Sounds like a good resolution for the new year. Paul, thanks for being with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Paul Carrigan has been with us, an assistant professor of English at Southeastern University.
Coming up, we'll be joined by a WPR reporter to discuss the top court cases of the past year here in Wisconsin.